Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, Pacific Watch, with Jeff Bliss. We attend immediately to the border crisis extending from Texas to California. California, however, these last days has been weighing in with inventive and philanthropic opportunities for several of the cities. Jeff, a very good evening to you. California is getting out front on this, and good for them. You report to me that three new facilities for unaccompanied children are opening in Texas and that more sites are being considered in California. Now that the basketball is over, has this reached the top of the news that San Diego, Long Beach, and other places in California are offering help? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. This is definitely starting to inch up into the upper echelon of stories every day now. Now that, as you said, basketball and some other things have slipped away. Plus, the fact is that the media can no longer avoid this story. It has become really the talk of the town for everybody, whether you're in California or anywhere else in the Southwest, because it is really making an impact. And there's no getting around the fact that record numbers of people are being detained at the border, and they're giving huge estimates the numbers are coming over, and people who are on the ground, the ranchers, the people who live in the towns in these areas are saying, oh, the numbers are much, much bigger. So they just can't avoid the story as it's coming up.
I go first to recover what we've learned this last week. San Diego offered its convention center right away. Long Beach is offering its convention center as well. I have a quote here that you sent me, City Council of Long Beach, saying it's the right thing to do to offer emergency migrant shelter at the convention center. Is there another side to the story, or is there everyone in agreement that this is that this will happen, or is there not in my backyard?
There have been protesters at the Long Beach meetings at the Long Beach site, the convention center. But Long Beach is a very blue town, dominated by liberal politics, has a very liberal mayor, somebody, Robert Garcia, who's been very closely linked to Biden and Harris. He's a big booster of theirs as well. And so this was going to get through no matter what. What was interesting was is that got through on a unanimous vote at the city council, and it had widespread support with the organizations, the institutions throughout the city. So this was something that Long Beach really welcomed. And honestly, I think they're very proud of the fact that they've been picked as one of these cities to do this.
We have a quote from Lauren Heidbrink, an assistant professor at Cal State Long Beach. Her research is the migrations of Central American children. You sent me this, Jeff. She said the influx of refugees is a policy-made humanitarian crisis that spans many administrations. I guess that's a long way around saying that Biden didn't do all of it, that it's been building for some time. But, Jeff, we have statistics to say that this is the heaviest arrival of unaccompanied children ever, I think almost by 80% larger. So clearly something has changed. What is the explanation on California media? How do they explain why now?
Well, the explanation is that this has been part of a gradual buildup over the years, and the media has been saying that part of this was Trump's fault because of the pressures he put on Latin American countries by making immigration so tough, basically shutting off the spigot, that this was all going to build up and blow over or blow through at one time or another. But other people in the media are starting to come up and say, look, you know, we have to realize that some of the decisions, some of the announcements, the pronouncements made by the Biden administration clearly interested people in coming up here. And they felt that this was a good time, as good a time as any. And the fact that they weren't going to continue with the wall, that there was talk about, you know, cutting up ICE or defunding ICE or getting rid of customs and border protection, all of those things led to a lot of migrants coming north. And this is something that reporters on the ground are getting straight from the mouths of the migrants, as well as leaders of Latin American countries.
Border Patrol agents are reporting abandoned 5- and 6-year-olds. Abandoned. I mean, these are not just unaccompanied children. These are minors, below the age of 5. Clearly something strange is happening, Jeff, because there's no way these children are going to be turned back. But I note that you sent me an item saying the Biden administration is now looking to find the separated migrant children's parents or someone responsible for them. This is from the Times of San Diego, from the Department of Homeland Security. So what we have here is a problem inside a problem. You have children 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and I don't know whether it would be easy to find their parents. They're not carrying identification. They can't necessarily tell a story of how they got alone by themselves on the border. Representative Daryl Issa has been out front criticizing the decision by the Biden administration. And you send me an item from KUSI, this is San Diego News, that Daryl Issa says the stopping of the wall is what created this. Is there that opinion on the media as well, that once the wall stopped being built, the migration started, especially for these unaccompanied children?
There isn't so much the owning up to that as there, as I pointed out, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. There is a concern by some people in the media now that there's been a border czar appointed, Kamala Harris, and they haven't seen from her. She hasn't had a news conference in more than 2 weeks. And so they're starting to say, well, maybe they aren't as concerned about this as they're pretending to be. But people are starting to point to the fact that, you know, there seems to be a strange policy that isn't really clear, or a policy that is acting as an incentive for these people to come north. And they're saying, you know, once they get here, the government is not prepared for it. That's pretty well agreed to across the board. People are saying, you know, they never expected the amount of the number of people who are coming, and they don't have a plan with what to do with them. So that's why you have situations like in Gila Bend, Arizona, and other cities in the Southwest, where they're just dumping migrants to come over the border and letting them fend for themselves and putting the burden of their care on these towns that really don't have enough money, don't have the resources to do that.
It's not all California. Jeff sends me an item from Tucson. The Pima County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 late March to enter into transportation contracts to transport asylum seekers dropped off by Border Patrol and Ajo. We reported that story earlier, Jeff. Now, this is their preparation for busing them from Ajo, where they wander in from the desert. I'm presuming it's the desert in Pima County, and they take them to Tucson. So what we're seeing is some organization, but you send me also a note that 275 sheriffs have signed a letter to Mr. Biden saying that the politics are dominating the story and they're not dealing with safety. Is that a story in California, that the safety of the migrants is at risk because political voices are arguing?
You're finding that some experts and, you know, some of the observers and people who are there trying to help are saying that that is in fact true. And because they're unprepared, it's caused, you know, it's exacerbated the humanitarian crisis. Everybody realizes there's not enough shelter for these people. There's not enough food, medical care, et cetera. And there's a great deal of worry about that. And of course, it all comes at a time when the economy's going through a very rough spot. They're talking about, where are we going to get money for these things? People are already being taxed, you know, out the door here in California and other states. And so there's a great concern of, how are we going to take care of these people once they're here? Where do they go? What do they do? Do we have enough resources? And most places say, no, we don't. We don't even have enough for the people who were here to begin with.
Homelessness. It didn't go away. It just has been replaced momentarily by the migrant population. Sacramento City is paying the homeless to clean up their camps, and the Sacramento Bee says it works. 250,000 Californians asked for help in 2020, according to the San Jose Mercury. The number of unhoused people asking for help skyrocketed in some Bay Area counties during the pandemic. What we have here, Jeff, is a crisis and a tragedy before the crisis and tragedy. Have the homeless slipped away from a major story in California, replaced by the migrants? Is there room for both stories on the front pages?
It has been a great concern. It's caused a lot of anger and disappointment among the homeless advocates and the homeless who are saying, wait a minute, we were here first, we were hurting first, why aren't we getting the help? Why haven't we been getting this attention all along, or the money, or the political help? And so you have these battling headlines, these battling concerns, and they are struggling to, you know, keep up with one with the other on the front page. But the homelessness had been big at one point during the pandemic, and now it's slipping away because of this. But I predict you're going to see more, because they do know that the number of people coming over the border who are going to be unhoused and unemployed are going to be, you know, adding to this number of homelessness in California and other states.
That immediately takes us to our story of the homeless in Echo Park. I read from the LA Times that the Echo Park remains shut. Is it barricaded in? How is it a day to day? Are people forced to walk around it?
Essentially, they are. So they put a fence over around a great part of Echo Park, because they have to do more than $500,000 worth of repairs and rehabilitation to the areas that were destroyed by people living there. And it wasn't just because, you know, they were abusing it. In some cases they were, but some of it was just a lot of wear and tear. You know, we had several hundred people camped out in an area that was not meant to be a place where people sleep and live 24/7. It really took its toll. And so they've closed it off, but it's also been closed off because they're trying to use it as a way to control and move the homeless population there. We'll see what happens. There are a number of people who are glad they've taken the step, but a number of the homeless advocates are saying this isn't fair. This is just LA once again dumping on the homeless.
Jeff Bliss, he is Pacific Watch. Yes, there is the recall story when we come back. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.